Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text before us today is our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings chapter 19, where we hear Elijah say, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, because you live on this earth, I am sure that, like everybody else, you've experienced the highs and lows in life. There are times when things seem to be going really, really well, and sometimes they feel like, frankly, they couldn't go any better. But those times are usually followed by times when things have never seemed worse. And unfortunately, so often they come back to back. For instance, you meet somebody new and experience new love. It's one of those times when you can't eat, you can't sleep. Your whole focus is on this new person in your life whom you want to spend every single moment with. It's new and it's exciting and it's absolutely amazing. Until you have your first fight and you experience that low. Or maybe you go on that dream vacation. Maybe even you go overseas. Maybe it's a cruise. Maybe it's just a weekend on a beach with no phones, no computers, no emails, no interruptions. It's just absolute wonderful heaven. Maybe it lasts a few days. Maybe if you're lucky, it's a couple weeks. But then it's back to reality. And it's back at home. And it's back at work. There's that lawn you've got to cut. There's laundry to do. There's all that grocery shopping because you've got no food in the house. And then it's back to work and back to the phones and back to the computers and back to all of those emails that you missed, but you didn't really miss. It's back to reality and it's back to a low. But we aren't the only ones who experience those highs and lows in life. We see Elijah in our Old Testament lesson for today. We see him experiencing a serious, serious low. Things are so bad that he heads out into the wilderness and he prays for God to take his life. What's happened to him to bring him so low? Well, it all starts out with an amazing, successful high. You see, at the time Elijah was around, it was a time of security and prosperity. Life was good in the northern kingdom. Under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, life was amazing. The only problem is that Jezebel brought in many, many prophets of Baal. Worship of the false god was open and widespread. It seemed as if Elijah was the only one who was worshiping the one true God. And because of that, Elijah tells Ahab that there will be a drought. No rain for 3.5 years. A drought so severe that dew won't even form on the ground on those warm mornings. And so just before our text for today, Elijah devises a test for those prophets of Baal. They are both going to build an altar, and they are both going to put a bull on each of those altars. And the 450 prophets of Baal, they are going to pray and sing and dance. They're even going to cut themselves, asking that Baal set fire to that sacrifice. At one point, Elijah teases and makes fun of them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing or he is relieving himself. or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be wakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves, as after their custom, with swords and lances, until blood gushed about upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And then it was Elijah's turn. But Elijah, he makes things a little bit more difficult for himself. So he builds the altar, and he puts the wood on the altar, and then he puts the bowl on the altar. But then he digs a big, huge trench around the altar, and he has them pour water all over the altar, tons and tons of water, until water has soaked the wood, covered the bowl, and even filled the trench. And then Elijah prays, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And in response to Elijah's prayer, God sends fire down upon that altar. The fire consumes the sacrifice. The fire consumes all the wood. The fire even consumes all the stones that the altar was built on, and it consumes all of that water, all of the water in the trench. And Elijah instructs the people to seize those prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, and he takes them down to the river, and he kills them all with the sword. And if that's not enough, Elijah then goes up on top of Mount Carmel with his servant, and he prays. And after he prays, he tells his servant to look over the sea for any sign of rain. And after the first prayer, there's nothing. But Elijah goes on to pray six more times. And after he prays the seventh time, the servant sees a little white cloud. But eventually, after that seventh prayer, the sky turns black with clouds, and it rains. It literally pours for the first time in 3.5 years. What an amazing high. What an amazing victory that is for God. All of those prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, are gone. And the drought after 3.5 years is over. The people have turned back to God, and God has triumphed and won. But Ahab, good old sinful King Ahab, see, he sees all of these events, and he runs back and he tells his queen Jezebel all that Elijah has done. And Jezebel sends that message to Elijah. So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And so after that amazing high comes a terrible low. Things get so low for Elijah, one of God's greatest prophets, that he runs away. Far, far away. More than 100 miles he runs. And if that weren't enough, after 3 trials, travels from Jezreel down to Bethesda, that 100 miles, he travels another day's journey. And finally he stops, and he finds solace in the shade of a 10 to 12 foot broom tree. And he gets down on his knees and he prays to God to die. And so here we have this man of God who has just victoriously killed 450 evil prophets of Baal. And he has prayed to God and he got it to rain for the first time in 3.5 years. And now he is down on his knees praying to God, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." It doesn't get much lower than that. Life, indeed, is made up of highs and lows. But the rest of the story is that God never abandons his people. God doesn't abandon his servant Elijah. He sends an angel to him to provide him with some bread and some water. And Elijah eats, and he goes back to sleep. And once again, God sends an angel to him a second time to touch Elijah and wake him up. And Elijah eats and drinks and then gets up. And he goes to Mount Sinai, that very same mountain where Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. And while Elijah is on that mountain, God comes to him in a still, soft voice. And he instructs Elijah to go and anoint Jehu to be the new king of the northern kingdom. He also gives him instructions to go and anoint Elisha to be his replacement. And yet, it would be another 20 years before God takes Elijah up to heaven in that fiery chariot. You see, while Elijah was down, God sent him his angel. Elijah was down, and God provided him with some food. Elijah was down, and God sent him up to his own holy mountain. God took care of his servant when he needed it most. And when it comes down to it, well, God has and he will take care of you. No, maybe God's not going to send an angel to touch you on the shoulder and wake you up. Maybe God's not going to provide you with a nice, wonderful, beautifully smelling loaf of bread and a glass of water next to your head after you wake up. But God has done so much more. He has done so much more for you because God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for all of your sins. And besides that, as we saw this morning, God sends his Holy Spirit to be with you and to create and sustain faith in you at your baptism, as he did with Holden this morning. God promises, and he does listen to every single one of your prayers. And God provides you with his church. Kind of like that Mount Sinai. A place where you can come and be relieved and receive strength and to be lifted up with God's gifts. Jesus says in our gospel lesson for today, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." See, that's God's promise for you. God's amazing promise to you. God doesn't want to lose you. You became God's child in your baptism, and you will remain God's child until he takes you up to heaven, because God doesn't want to lose you. God doesn't want anything bad ever to happen to you, but he will be with you to walk with you through thick and thin. Through God's Holy Spirit working in his word and sacraments and working through the church, to get you through all of those low times so that you can get back to enjoying those wonderfully, incredibly high times once again. Unfortunately, there is no place in the Bible where God promises that Christians won't have problems. The fact of the matter is that the Bible actually warns us that there will be tribulation and persecution. But the church also teaches that God will never forsake us, but He will walk with us every step of the way. So just as He took care of Elijah, God will take care of you. In Jesus' name, amen.